Amen. Well, it's great to be here. I walked in a few minutes before Go Tell It on the Mountain, and you guys win for the most, I don't know, energetic, willing to move a little bit, willingness to maybe get into the nature of the song, because RP maybe lacked a little bit of vitality at that song. But so congratulations. I think we should sing that more often, actually, Craig. In some ways, the message this morning has already been sung. The talk hasn't been given, and I'll try really hard to kind of unpack what I think God put on my heart as I began thinking about and got some input from some others as to what could I say about Jesus being the light of the world. You know, we're in our third week of the study of the one we long for, and we're focusing on Jesus. And when this morning at RP, Christine and Shelley and Alyssa led us through Noel, I realized that that's the message that I hope we can communicate this morning. Noel, Noel, come and see what God has done. The light of the world given for us. And really, that's the message. And I want to unpack that a little bit and talk about how does that impact our world, the neighborhoods that we live in, and then ultimately our own lives. And I hope I have, I think, a little bit of a message for not just us individually, but also for us corporately as a congregation, and then as us as a church, which I'll get to as I unpack. Maybe I could just encourage you to close your eyes for just a split second. And some of you are cheating. But close your eyes, and I want you to imagine or picture maybe an event in your life that you can remember or recollect when you were engrossed or engulfed by darkness, pure pitch blackness. Maybe it was an event of your childhood, maybe it was a recent event. I remember being in Fiji a number of years ago, and I was able to communicate back with Janice, and I guess it was during that almost hurricane storm that swept through Vancouver, and Janice and the family were without power for 5 days, and it was dark. And they had to experience that. You can open your eyes, and maybe you had an image that was very memorable to you, or maybe you were struggling a little bit. That's why I got you to close your eyes, because at least you could experience it a bit. But for me, there are many, many times where I have been encountered by pitch darkness. And one actually just happened recently. One, a few years ago, I was in a small orphan village in Swaziland up in the mountains, and a place called Bulembu. It's an amazing place, and they're doing some amazing things with kids that have very little. And these Christians have started this town called Bulembu, and they're training and educating orphan kids, giving them an education, and then eventually graduating them on to have a future and one day become leaders. That's not the point of the story, but my friends and I were walking back from the mess hall where they were having dinner, and we had probably 300-400 kids around us. It was out of the mess hall back up to where we were staying, and it was pitch black. There were no towns to illuminate the sky. There were no electricity because it was a very remote place. And I remember walking through pitch blackness with a few friends going, I remember when we got here, the orientation said, don't walk at night and don't be alone. And for a variety of reasons. One of the reasons was the leopards that came and hung out on the hot pavement of the town. And so we're walking through this town and I'm going, God, please don't let me encounter a leopard. Or maybe the other reasons were some of the snakes, or maybe some of the spiders. I don't know what was out there. Unfortunately, I never found out. But I do remember going, we just need a little bit of light to guide our paths back. Well, a more recent issue, later on this afternoon, I'm going to make a phone call. I'm going to phone my friend Mike. He coaches the men's team at Trinity West, and I coach the women's team. And, you know, we were trying to save a little bit of money this weekend. We were at some meetings in Calgary, stayed together in a hotel room. And Mike, you know, he has no problem going to sleep and staying in sleep and so forth. I'm a little bit different. I get up at weird hours. And so after sitting there literally in pitch blackness for about an hour, I said, well, it's only 3:45. I'll get up and I'll try to not disturb Mike, and I'll find my way down into the lobby and at least, you know, put some clothes on, maybe even. So I showered, had the light on and the bathroom light off so I didn't disturb Mike. 15 minutes, I fumbled and bumbled my way around the hotel room, trying to find articles of clothing that I could both also put in my suitcase because I was going to leave for the day. My meeting was at 9. And I couldn't find my iPhone, because you know the iPhone can help you a little bit, and at least you don't even have to turn the flashlight on, you just turn the screen up a little bit, and it might just shine a little bit. I had to get my computer, my keys, left my Fitbit in the hotel room, fortunately he was still there. Probably about 15 minutes into the experience, and you guys, I mean, you've never related to anything like this, because you've never been in a dark situation, but 15 minutes into it, I almost felt like Mike was about to say, why don't you just turn the light on? Because we both know that he was awake. Because when the computer hit the floor and when my keys jingle jangled and, you know, when I was trying to zip up my suitcase, it was very evident that Mike was stirring and so forth. But I remember saying to myself, I just need a little bit of light. Well, that's really the topic of what we're talking about this morning. And it's really a continuation on from what both Tanner and Cam the week before helped us unpack. So if you have your Bibles, worthwhile to open up to John chapter 1. We're going to unpack just a couple verses. I might reference a few other verses, and if you have a pen and a notepad, not because I'm going to say anything particularly special, but because I do have some Bible references, because all throughout the Bible, the illustration or the imagery of light invading darkness or overtaking darkness or speaking into the darkness happens literally from the first chapter all the way through the scriptures. But in verse 4, and early on, when Cam kind of started the introduction to Advent, he talked about Jesus. Who is this Jesus? Well, he's the one that came into the world. And we learned a little bit about his nature, and we learned a little bit about who he is. He was both fully God and fully human. And he was God's working agent in creation and in restoration. And all that was created happened through, and Cam shared, this word in action, this logos, this creative Christ, God's Son that was sent into the world. And we learned all that in the first three verses. And then Tanner helped us understand a little bit about what does it mean when it says Jesus came to bring life. Verse 4 says, if I can find it, in him was life. And that life was the light of men. And so in some ways, I'm carrying on a foundation that was built first by Cam and then by Tanner. And one of the things I really appreciated what Tanner shared with us last week was he got us to pause and say, before you can understand this Advent season, before you can understand the essence or the immensity of what we celebrate at Christmas, you need to start with the absence of Jesus to realize what life would be like without him. And so he unpacked a little bit of that. And then he also shared a tiny bit about what life with Christ looks like and the fulfillment that we experience and the new hope and the new purpose that we have. I think another aspect of the whole in him was life is the very essence that just like Cam shared, Jesus was the creative one. He's also the recreating one. And so he offers us in just a few short words, John says, don't miss the fact that Jesus is the Redeemer. He's the one that restores. He's the one that gives new life, the rebirth. And so we're getting a picture of Jesus. And then John continues, because remember, John would have written this gospel or this recollection, this memoir of his time with Jesus towards the end of his life. So he's looking back and he's trying to help people that he's going to leave this writing with to say, this is who Jesus is. This is who he was. This is what he did. But don't miss the immensity of who he is. And so it comes to the second part of verse 4. It says, that life, the one that Tanner spoke about, was the light of men. And so why we had the illustration of walking into the dark room this morning and recognizing that we need light to illuminate the darkness. And that's what we're going to unpack for a little bit. So as we turn to Jesus, light of the world, Jesus, the one that his friend John says, he's the one that illuminates all things. He's the one that offers new life. In order to fully grasp it, it's really important that we start similar to what Tanner helped us do last week, which was to understand darkness. Anybody know what the Webster's Dictionary says about the definition of darkness? Darkness is what? The absence of life, light. And so the reality is we recognize that without light, there's total darkness. And it's really important that we understand, we go a little bit deeper, because the biblical understanding of darkness, and even sometimes in the world when they refer to it's a dark time or it's a dark era or there's darkness that's over the city or so forth, oftentimes people will actually talk about wickedness. They'll talk about evil. It will be a reference to sin and immorality. it will be a reference to a godless place. And this is both from a Christian perspective and also from just those who comment on society. But there's one other term that I thought was quite interesting, which says darkness is the lack of spiritual or intellectual enlightenment. And so those of you that are history majors, you know that Europe went through the Dark Ages and basically lost the ability to learn and think and to be intellectual. And it wasn't, you know, my dad would be really happy that I said this, it wasn't for the fact that the Celts saved civilization. But we won't get into that this morning. So darkness is the lack of spiritual or intellectual enlightenment. What does that mean? Well, it's void of having God shine his light into it. I want to unpack that for a little bit. What does darkness look like in our current day and age? You don't have to go very far, whether it's in our neighborhoods or whether you turn on the news, you read the newspaper, you listen to the radio, and you recognize darkness is all around us. Because I get up at weird hours and I go to bed really early, I went to bed last night and I clicked on the BBC on my iPhone just because I like reading world news and so forth. And unfortunately, for those of you that maybe haven't caught up with what's going on in the world, about 9 o'clock last night, the news mentioned, and maybe it happened earlier, but the news mentioned that somebody had exploded a car bomb outside a soccer stadium in Turkey, and that there was devastation and there was death and that there was injury and there was turmoil and toil. And I got up this morning very early, and so I clicked on that again because, you know, when a few hours kind of elapse, you recognize you're going to hear more of the story, and Lord, please don't let there be a greater death toll, and who did this, and all the rest of it. And I was surprised, actually, that the BBC had nothing to do with the first headline in Turkey, because it was all about Egypt. Anybody read the news this morning and recognize that brothers and sisters in Jesus were murdered and massacred in Egypt by another bombing and by a terrorist act? And so the world is full of darkness, and you guys could think of your own stories, and I don't know as much about what's going on in Burnaby, but as I shared in RP, I shared some illustrations of darkness that's happening in our culture and our society, literally in the neighborhood where they meet in RP. And I don't know what that looks like, but we all have images and we all know that people are walking in darkness. And people are chasing the wrong things and recognizing that they're trying to find some type of light in materialism or in things that they think that will fulfill them. And obviously our culture is drifting further and further away from God. It's what it says, the lack of spiritual or intellectual enlightenment. We could all fill in the blanks of what darkness looks like in our culture and our society. Last Friday night, I was dropping my kids off at our Edge event, and then I traveled into Surrey Memorial Hospital to visit my Uncle Ken. He had some kidney issues. And if I had to be really honest, I didn't want to go. Not because I don't love Ken, but because it's not the place I choose to hang out on a Friday night. But it's my wife's uncle and we care for him, so we went and spent a little bit of time with him. And I recognize that you want a real good illustration of people that are struggling with dark issues and dark things and dark oppression, just hang out at Surrey Memorial, and I'm sure it's like that at lots of different places. On a Friday night, you know, people beaten up and people that look downtrodden and look oppressed and very hurt and so forth. Darkness is all around us. But then this week as I was studying, I recognized, you know what? Darkness isn't just all around us or in different parts of the world. Darkness actually resides right in my very heart and soul. And so the darkness that I think John is talking about when he says, in the life was the light, can yes speak into the world, can yes speak into culture, but actually it starts with speaking directly into our own hearts. And so I want to pause there for a few minutes and maybe be a little bit vulnerable and share a tiny bit about what's the darkness look like for me. And for all of us, it's probably a little bit different, but I think we would be foolish to just pass by and think that what John is talking about is this light bulb that illuminates our paths. We'll get to that in a few minutes. But what he's actually saying is there's darkness in all of us, and without Christ's life living in us, we don't have light. Well, my darkness, and I shared a little bit, some of it was humorous, some of it was embarrassing, but you know, even as late as last night, getting a flight home from Calgary, I was late to get to the airport, surprise, surprise. The Roxburgh's not known for that. But I drive into the car rental place, and I drop off my car, and I've got a few minutes. I'm not going to miss my flight, but I have to rush. And the poor guy that was checking in my car, I noticed he was spending a little bit of extra time looking at a particular area of my car. And that kind of annoyed me because I was waiting for my receipt and I had to get into the terminal building. And then all of a sudden he took out a pen and it was a chalk or some type of special thing and he put a big circle in the windshield. And then I kind of looked a little bit more closely and the very smallest crack was in my windshield. Now, I'm being as honest as I can. I don't personally think it happened in the 24 hours that I had the car. I probably drove the car like less than 50 kilometers. But I was stupid the night before because I didn't look very carefully. And so he circled it, and I said to him, I said, why are you circling? He goes, well, you got a windshield chip. So that didn't happen on my watch. He goes, well, how do I know that? It says here that there was no windshield chip before you got it. And I have to be honest with you, the light of Christ didn't shine through me in the next number of minutes. And the words that I used with them, you know, probably you wouldn't want to hear here. Now, in fairness, it wasn't terrible, but it was dark. It was giving a guy who had no business getting a hard time, a real hard time. And then I walked into the terminal building and I said, that's awesome, Graham, because tomorrow morning you're going to stand up in front of your friends, you're going to talk about the light of Christ in people's lives. And I realized, wow, there's a real dark part of my heart, whether that's because of tiredness or being annoyed or just because simply the guy was an inconvenience to me. That's one area of darkness. Another area, I mentioned the Surrey Memorial Hospital. It's not that I didn't want to go visit my Uncle Ken. I want to clear that up in case you ever see him again. The reality was is Janice and I were supposed to go on a date. We were supposed to go have dinner. And so I thought we could drop in, bring him some of his belongings. We didn't know how serious it was and so forth. And for the next hour, while Janice was talking to Ken in this really busy, probably less than desirable place to be, I actually caught up with most of my week's emails. And it's not that I didn't care about Ken, but he was, if you know Janice and you know Ken, they go into a lot of details, and those are details probably I'm just not that interested in knowing. So I just spent a lot of time on my phone. And then finally my uncle goes, hey, nice to see you. And I realized, you know what? This was actually an opportunity for me to be Christ's light, not just to Ken, but for the person that was in the bed next to him and the people that were kind of in the ward and so forth. And the cool part of the story later on, which isn't part of this talk, is I did actually eventually change my attitude. But the whole time, all I did was care about myself. And you know what's amazing is probably none of you can relate to any of these types of stories. Lots of feelings. I don't know about you, but when people hurt you, when they hurt me, I hold on to pain. It's way easier for me to tell others about the pain that that person caused me over the last 2 or 3 years than let it go and not feel justified. And so I don't know what it looks like for you, but there's darkness in my heart and darkness sometimes in the way I behave or in the way that I speak. Well, you fill in the blank what darkness looks like for you, but the good news is that John, in his recollection and his reflecting back and trying to let the world know who Jesus was, said, in him, in Jesus, in this word in action, was the light of men. And so I want to unpack just for a few minutes a little bit of this biblical narrative of light that invades darkness. Genesis chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, God said, let there be light, as he looked out over the expanse and saw the formless darkness and said, let there be light. And then he says, light was good. And so this imagery of light being all the way through Scripture, the invasion of darkness will carry on. And other parts of the psalmist will say in Psalm 27, verse 1, the Lord is my light. The prophets, we heard it earlier today, Isaiah 9 said, those walking in darkness, they'll be invaded by light. They'll see a great light. Even later on in Isaiah, the promise of light speaking into the darkness, Isaiah 42. Light is associated with the word, salvation, goodness, truth, life. Isaiah says, I will lead those who are blind into the light. And so the Old Testament is full of that imagery. And then we get to John, and he says, in him was the light. And then a little bit later on in verse 9, he says, or verse 10, he says, the true light was that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He wants people to understand that whether it's personal darkness, society's darkness, the world's darkness, Jesus is the one that wants to invade our darkness. Simeon, we reflected a little bit on it earlier. Even in our study guides, we were encouraged to look at it. Simeon takes this little baby boy, Jesus. And do you know what he says? I can depart. You can take your servant home because I've seen the light to the Gentiles. Simeon recognized the special nature of this little baby boy, the Messiah, the hope and the revelation of God's glory, but the light to the Gentiles. Well, really, why not take it from Jesus' mouth himself? because in chapter 8 of John, he says, I am the light of the world. Those walking in darkness will never have to do that again. Because of me, I'm light. It's not just that I have the ability to illuminate your path, but I actually am the one that wants to dwell in you and shine through you. Again, he says it a little bit later on, I am the light of the world. And then Paul followed on by helping other Christians and Christian communities go, God's act of bringing light into the world is through the person of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 references that. So what does all this mean? And this morning at RP, I helped contrast those that were walking in darkness and then the experience of meeting Christ and recognizing that his life goes into our lives and begins to shine out of us for the very purpose of then declaring his light to the world. And I actually had one of my players, she couldn't come today, she's in the middle of exams, but she got up and she shared, her name's Allie. And one day I'll get her to come here and share a little bit of her testimony. But I asked Allie three questions. I said, Allie, tell us what darkness looked like in your life. And so she, for a little bit of time, sensitively talked about a life of partying and drugs and probably leading life's slippery slope into a life of despair and destruction. And then she talked a little bit about what the experience was of meeting Christ and realizing that she could not only have new birth, the life, but she could begin to have all that stuff exposed and dissipated, and realizing now that Christ gives her this new sense of, I'm going to make something new of you. And then I asked her the final question. I said, so now that you've met Christ, you're following Christ, what does it look like for the light of Christ to illuminate your life? And she talked about her new purpose and her desire to basically have an impact on others. And so it was really cool. And RP was able to hear a live presentation of somebody moving from darkness into the light and then having that light shine through them. So as I close this morning, one of the things that I really want to unpack for you is, what does it mean for us to be children of the light? When we come into the light of Jesus, we're changed, we're transformed, we're sanctified. God's doing a new thing in us. Our ethics change, our character changes, our values change, our priorities change. Our old selves are gone. Our new self that's wrapped up in the light of Christ is on display. And so when we're willing to have our lives evaluated and exposed to Christ's light, which is in us, we begin to change. Paul said this to the Ephesians in chapter 5. He said, for once you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. And I want to park here just for a few minutes before we close. If John's right, and the life has the light of the world in it, in him, and we become his children, then what does that mean for us in terms of who we are to become and what we are to do? It says we're supposed to be children of the light, and that means we're sanctified. We become more like him. We follow his way. He illuminates our path to live life the way he wanted us to live it. But I don't think that it's just for the sake of us. And sometimes when we hear about the light of Christ, we think, well, what that means is Jesus will just illuminate my own path. And I'll start to live maybe a little bit more of a Christ-like life, but I'll do more Christian things. And while that's true, I'm not necessarily sure that's all that was intended when John says Jesus is the light of the world. You remember last week's drama? Do you remember when Nicole and May were up front? I can't remember who else was, but Nicole and May had that little interaction. And I said to RP this morning, I wish you could have been at ETC last week, because not only did they do an amazing drama, but they had some unbelievable light effects, right? Because right as Nicole had turned and recognized that there was a light, it's not happening today, but the light beam shone literally right through. Like, you ever seen Mr. Bean when he like lands on and the light is shining? Like, it was kind of like that, right? Where the light was just shining on Nicole and she had turned and she was like, wow. And then she spent the next little bit of time trying to convince May, check this out. And May had kind of gone, no, I'm not really interested, because what I've got here is okay. It's not great, but it's okay. And there was fear of turning and looking at the wow. But in some ways, what Nicole illustrated, and I joked with her this morning, I said, actually, that drama should have been done this week to help illustrate the fact that the light shone into the world and people can turn and recognize that their lives can be changed, yes, but also they have a mandate to show other people the light. And so when we sing, "Go Tell It on the Mountain," that's really what it's talking about. Noel, Noel, come and see what God has done. And sometimes I think if you're like me, we might look for a little bit, but we also kind of turn back and go, nah, I kind of like the gray shades here. And God wants us to unpack what would our lives look like. So my encouragement for us is to spend time thinking about, yes, the awe and the wonder of living and loving the light, but also understanding that part of that responsibility of the light of Christ in us is to shine our lives to others. I want to tell you about one illustration before I close, and maybe this is a question that can both speak to us individually but also corporately. 2 years ago, I was in Brazil, on the border of Brazil and Paraguay. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Iguazu Falls. I don't know if you've ever been there, but there's an amazing dam that there was a war almost fought over between Paraguay and Brazil of who had the rights, the territorial rights, to the Iguazu River that creates so much of the energy. Most of Paraguay is lit up by this dam. And so we were told, we're going to go to the border, we're going to check out this dam. It's like one of the world's largest dams. It's unbelievable. There's a celebration of light. We drove 6 hours to get there. We were so excited. And I don't know how, but all of a sudden we went into Brazil and our missionary guest said, "You're now in Brazil," which was kind of cool. But we're like, we didn't go through a border stop or anything. So I don't know what that part of the story looked like. But we're standing on this plateau and obviously it's a tourist area. And there's this massive expanse of a dam in front of us. And it's dark, so you can just barely make out the outline of the dam. And in about 5 minutes, the celebration of light was going to light up this dam. And so we had this unbelievable sense of expectation. We're excited, and all of a sudden the music starts blaring, and the music wasn't very good, if I was honest, but we knew that the show was about to start. And then all of a sudden, in Portuguese, because we're in Brazil, this loud speaker starts speaking a little bit of the history of what's going on, and this dam starts to light up, except, you know, the first light came on. It wasn't very bright, and so we're like, okay, well, the show's just starting, and then the second light came on, and that was less bright than the first bright light, and then the third, and it kind of just kept going, and the music kept going. It was about 5 minutes in, and all of a sudden the music stopped, and the lights went out, and everybody left. And I was like, that's it? Like, we drove 6 hours to watch that. And we still saw the waterfalls and we got to go visit the Iguazu Falls the next day and all the rest of it. But what was amazing to me was they had built this up so much and there was supposed to be this wow. And it was really not effective at all and not very lit up, to be honest. Like, maybe they just have a different standard of what a celebration of light looks like. But the reality is I stopped and I wondered as I reflected on that story and I thought, you know what, maybe that's us. Maybe there's times when we individually, as Christ followers, don't light up the way we're supposed to in our relationships with our friends and with the people that we work with and rub shoulders with. And maybe those that are watching us would maybe not have the same experience that Nicole had, or that May had eventually when she turned and looked at the light. Maybe when people look at us, maybe they still see some darkness. And so I want to encourage us this morning as we celebrate the Lord's table that one of the applications could be, Lord, what are the areas in my life where there's darkness? What are some of the areas where you need to illuminate and invade with your light? And then I thought a little bit about that illustration and I went, maybe that's not just for us personally. Maybe there's an application for us corporately. Because one day, and I know all of us as leaders dream about the fact that people, not because of our services and not because of all the events we put on, but people that rub shoulders with us, that live in the neighborhoods that we work with, would go, you have the light of Christ so bright in you that sometimes words are used, but often it's not even necessary because I want to find out what's shining through you. And could it be one day that our communities, and whether it's RP or out in Langley where I live or here in Burnaby, could it be that people are going, I just want to be with them because they light up the place instead of the experience. And I'm not saying we're that Brazilian dam, but maybe it would be a chance for us to reflect and just realize that our job is to be that lighthouse where people can look and go, now I have direction. And now I have a place where I know I can find answers. Just a thought. And maybe that's the application this morning. Well, one of the things that I've enjoyed in the study guide and as we kind of began Advent. We met as a mission group, and one of the applications, I think in the very first mission group of Advent, was Craig asked it, I think, is what gift do we want God to bring us or to give us this Christmas? And as I was preparing this week, I recognized I found my answer. That doesn't mean I'm a horrible, rotten person. It doesn't mean there's tons and tons of darkness in my life. But what it means is I ask that God, through Jesus and celebrating Advent, would shine on me in a fresh way, would shine on us in a fresh way. And we would ask God to let this person, this Jesus, the light of the world that John describes, who's the light, we would ask that he would shine in our hearts and through our lives forever. Why don't you just bow for a word of prayer? I'm going to close. I want to read you a quote that I think is so applicable to what I sense God say to me this week. I often listen to and sometimes read a guy by the name of Erwin McManus. And one of the things that he says, and he led a prayer with his congregation, he was very honest. He said, I want the spiritual reality of Christ in me, the light of the world, to be the defining characteristic in everything I do. Let me read it again. I want the spiritual reality of Christ in me, the light of the world, to be the defining characteristic of everything I do. Lord, help us this morning to realize that you do illuminate our paths. You do lead us in ways that help us to be like you. But so much of what I think John was trying to say and what we need to grasp is that when we follow the light of life, we have the privilege of having you, Jesus, illuminate our lives so that others would also recognize that you are the light of the world. And so help us this Christmas to understand that with more clarity and with more intensity. And we invite your Holy Spirit to work in us this morning. Amen.